Hi everyone, and welcome to I'm a Resource People podcast, the COVID-19 edition for Friday the 17th of April 2020, providing you a question and answer style information format for AMA members on workplace and employment matters. I'm Tara Diamond and I'm joined by AMA's Head of Policy and Public Affairs Tom Reed and Head of Workplace Relations Ben O'Brien. An important note is that this podcast is general in nature and isn't legal advice. And today's questions cover the overnight development of changes to the consultation period to vary enterprise agreements, the latest in aviation and JobKeeper eligibility. So let's get straight into the questions. Tom, can you give us an overview of what's happened overnight with the change to the consultation period to vary enterprise agreements?
Sure, Tara. So basically, the Australian government's temporarily amended the Fair Work regulations to assist employers and employees with fast-tracking workplace changes in response to COVID-19. Now, they've done that by passing a Fair Work amendment regulation, and this reduces the access period for a proposed variation of an enterprise agreement from 7 days down to just 24 hours. So this means employers will now only be required to provide a minimum of one full day's notice of any proposed variation before they can put it to a vote. There are a couple of important things to note, though. The requirement that the Fair Work Commission be satisfied that employees covered by the agreement have genuinely agreed to that variation, that remains in place, including that the employer must take all reasonable steps to provide employees with copies of the proposed variation and any other incorporated material. And just a final note on this, it is a six-month temporary measure taking effect from today, and the Fair Work Commission will be provided with a following 6 months from after the repeal date to consider applications to approve variations of EAs made with that one-day access period. So a fairly positive development there for employers that are looking to vary agreements and are looking to do it fast.
Wow, okay. And there's been a lot of media overnight. It's kicked off quite a bit. So, Ben, what's the big deal and what relief will this provide AMA members?
I think really the most important aspect of this for AMA members is that it certainly makes more practical the approach of reviewing an enterprise agreement and questioning whether there are any restrictive covenants inside of an enterprise agreement that have prevented an employer from implementing COVID-19 responses. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is this is not limited to things like delaying future pay increases or changing hours of work or rosters. This would give an employer the ability to review its entire enterprise agreement and to review things that weren't contemplated when the enterprise agreement was struck, and using an enterprise agreement in a COVID-19 response situation. So, for example, things like living away from home allowances or payments for travel, or the way an enterprise agreement might require somebody to be paid during a quarantine period or a self-isolation period, things of that nature, which certainly weren't in the minds of the employer or its employees when the enterprise agreement was put together. An employer could now look at all of those measures and ask whether or not they continue to be appropriate in the current climate. The reduction of the access period from 7 days to 1 day has certainly drawn some heat and drawn some questions about whether that gives employees a fair opportunity to consider a proposed variation. I think certainly from my experience, if you need more than 1 day to explain a proposed variation to your employees, it's probably too complex anyway and is not likely to get employee support. I think what this does is just reflect the reality of the situation, which is you can now go to your workforce and put forward a proposal, give them the day and the night to think about it, and ask them to vote on that the next day. Now, it's important to keep in mind too that there still remains the requirement for employees to vote in support of a proposed variation. The proposed variation is still going to have to pass the better off overall test. This is not a carte blanche that would allow an employer to railroad their workforce into a series of problematic changes to an enterprise agreement. It is simply just a practical outcome that reflects the changing landscape in which people are operating and the pace at which changes need to happen now.
Okay, quite a lot to digest there, but you've touched on a couple of examples such as, you know, certain allowances and things, but practically what should AMA members be looking at now? If they've got, if they need to make changes in their business, what sorts of things do you think that they should be looking for, or even, you know, talking to AMA about the types of things that they could be doing?
Well, I think certainly if had a concern that their enterprise agreement restricts them in a certain way over the last few weeks, or positions them in a problematic way in the last few weeks, this is an employer's opportunity, and this is the opportunity for AMA members to seek to address that. They should keep in mind that changes to the Fair Work Act through regulation can be brought through relatively easily, but they can be removed relatively easily as well. So there's likely there could be only a short window of opportunity to address these types of issues now. But in doing so, any variation that anybody's able to achieve at the moment is not time limited. You're talking about a permanent variation to your enterprise agreement. So I would certainly encourage all of AMA's members to consider the terms of their enterprise agreement and any terms which they would benefit from varying at this point in time, whether that's in relation to pay, hours of work, or any other matter that's in their enterprise agreement, which is causing them an issue at the moment as they respond to the COVID-19 situation. But it is still only one of a number of options that are at their disposal in order to address the requirements of an enterprise agreement. For those of our members who are operating under an enterprise agreement which has gone past its nominal expiry date, there also remains the opportunity there to seek to have the enterprise agreement terminated and to revert those employees back to the provisions of the underlying modern award, which some of the modern awards that our members would be working to contain some very useful emergency rostering provisions, which would be quite useful in these circumstances.
So just to be clear, Ben, does this change of consultation period, does that somehow relate to people looking to potentially terminate their agreement?
No, they would be they'd be separate matters, and I'd certainly in terms of addressing requirements now, I'd be looking at a variation before I look at a termination proposal. I think reducing the access period in the variation process from 7 days to 1 day certainly makes it a more practical option at this point in time. We've seen that one enterprise agreement be varied by the Fair Work Commission because of a COVID-19 circumstance. Just recently in Queensland, that whole process took 16 days, and that was including a 7-day access period. So you can see now that potentially people could get through a variation process within 2 weeks now, which certainly makes it a much more practical option for people to consider. But separately to that variation option is the more long-term and more serious option of considering a termination outcome.
Thanks for that and being clear on it. And another major development overnight is the movements in aviation.
Yeah, it was really positive news overnight that the government has committed to underwriting a number of ongoing domestic flights from both Qantas and Virgin. The inability of employees to move around Australia and to their place of work was creating a very, very serious and pressing issue for AMA members. So the news that has come through that for the next 8 weeks or so, there will be the availability, ongoing availability of flights for employees and for other people moving around Australia. It's been very, very welcome.
Thanks. And Tom, we can't talk today without giving an update on JobKeeper. Can you let everybody know if there's been any updates on JobKeeper that would be of interest?
Well, it's been a week since the JobKeeper legislation was passed by Parliament, so there has been a lot of clarity around things like eligibility how the payment system will work, the timing. For instance, it's going to start from the first week of May, but you need to have paid your employees during the course of April to be eligible. So all those sorts of more basic things have become quite clear, and there's some fact sheets on the ATO's website, as well as some fact sheets available from AMA on all of those things. So if you are a member of ours who's likely to apply for the JobKeeper program, please get in touch. One important development is that the various state governments are now starting to exempt payroll tax on Commonwealth JobKeeper payments. So that's quite positive, because that was certainly something that we spoke about on the podcast last week as being a potential disincentive for employers to want to access that scheme. So, for example, Western Australia, the Parliament in Western Australia has passed legislation that would exempt payroll tax on JobKeeper. That follows the South Australian government doing the same thing about a week earlier, and we expect other states and territories to follow.
Well, thanks very much for the updates, and thanks so much for the info, Tom and Ben. And thank you for listening to the Resource People podcast for the COVID-19 edition, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.